So, what are you focused on these days, this last week or so? What's using up your energy, taking your time, causing you to worry? What is it that's demanding your attention right now? For most of it, it's probably Christmas. All kinds of ways, all its kinds of different ways that it can disturb our lives, making demands on our time. We barely get through Halloween, and they start making us feel guilty because we haven't got all our shopping done, haven't got the cards out yet. We have so many things to do, so many things to worry about, getting all the presents together, getting the presents wrapped, getting the presents under the tree, paying for the presents. We have so much that we try to do. We have to decorate the house. We have to organize a party or go to a party. And of course, there's always the Christmas card roulette, deciding who you owe a Christmas card this year and who sent you one last year and who didn't send you one last year. Our lives are usually, though, not just chaotic at Christmas time, because it doesn't start or stop with Christmas. It goes year round. The demands of time on our emotional energy are overwhelming. Between work and family and the economy and politics and the world situation, we're just simply overwhelmed. We don't have any time extra. The demands on our time just keep us from doing anything more than what we absolutely have to do. Single parents are even worse shape. They have to be parent, and they have to be home, breadwinner, and they have to be referee, and they have to take care of the house and do Christmas as well. And so things don't go very well right now. The focus of our lives, even here at Christmas time, isn't on God. We have so much to do and so little time, we haven't got time to think about God. We have to deal with the temptations and the trials and the demands of the world that surrounds us every single day. In the scripture this morning from 1 Thessalonians, Paul is closing out his letter with a benediction. He is reminding, or maybe better would be reassuring them, that the God who called them and us is faithful. This God is involved in our lives. He is the God who calls and challenges and completes our lives, bringing us into a new kind of existence that he intends for each and every one of us. And he does it by sending his only Son, Jesus Christ, to live among us. At the same time, Paul makes it very clear that being a Christian doesn't just happen. God doesn't zap us holy. Paul lists the things that we need to be doing while we wait for the Lord's return: praying, rejoicing, giving thanks, things that focus us, orient us towards God, and allows us to participate in God's grace. The text is calling us to some positive action, to thank God in all parts of our lives, not just whenever we get around to it. So how do we focus on God? Well, thanking God is not like rubbing a lucky rabbit's foot, or like the basketball or the baseball players that cross themselves before they make a free throw, or put a sign of the cross on the plate before they take the first pitch. Nor is it calling out the Lord's name in vain, using it in our frustration or to encourage somebody to get the heck out of the way. It's not running to him in moments of crisis, although as the sign says, as long as there's tests, there'll be prayers in school. It's not running out of options, so you frantically cast around looking for what you're going to do next, and when you can't find anything else, when all else fails, you thank God. Thanking God is, in fact, a lifestyle, a way of living, a conscious decision-making process that involves God, not just in the religious matters or the times of great joy and excitement, but all times of our lives, every moment of our lives. It's an attitude about how we will conduct our lives and how we respond to others as they come in touch with our lives. It's a commitment that acknowledges the ups and downs of life as part of the complexity and mystery of who we are as people, and that operates under the Lordship of God. It includes God in our thinking in all parts of our lives, so that in prayer or devotion time, working within the world time, all of it is the same. There's not a time in which we're not praying. Thinking God is doing those things that keep us centered. The text says that we should pray to rejoice, give thanks, hold on to the good, and stay away from the evil. We need to make a conscious decision about our thoughts and actions ahead of time, not when the crisis is upon us. I don't know how many of you have ever played Spider Solitaire on the computer. Probably at least you've seen it. It's a game in which there's an array of cards. I think there's about 10 packs of cards, 6 or 8 deep. And then the top card is revealed. And the idea is you go from the high down to the low. You eventually want to get from the king to the ace. And if you do that, it disappears. It moves off to one side. And the idea is to get them all to do it. The problem, of course, is what happens when you have 2 sixes and 1 7? Which 6 do you use? Well, a long time ago when I first started playing the game, I decided that I would use the 6 that has the longest tail behind it. If it goes 6-5-4-3-2-1, I'm going to use it before I use a 6-5-4. If the 2 sixes are the same, then I've decided that the packs of cards face down underneath them, which one is the deepest card, deepest pack, and I'll use that one. But if they're both the same thickness, then what do I pick? Well, I've decided arbitrarily to pick the left one. Why? Is that the right one? I don't know. I have no idea if it's the right one or not. All I know is it's a card that I can pick. And by having done it ahead of time, I don't have to dither over which I pick, the left one or the right one. And the next hand that's dealt, you have 2 sevens and 1 8, and you got to dither all over again. But if you know ahead of time, if you know what you're going to do, make up the rule, whatever it is. I don't care. I'm not saying that my way wins any more than anybody else's way, but I've made a decision. We need to make a decision about our lives. We need to make a decision about thinking God so that we don't have to stop and think about it every time. Our think God response becomes natural and automatic. We need to think God when it comes to what we say to people. It's easy to get angry and lash out at people, especially this time of the year. It's going to happen as we get stressed out. Remember that lady on the television on Black Friday or early Saturday that used pepper spray on everybody else? She got a little stressed out, I think. It's going to happen less if we begin to think God. When we are frightened or angry, we use any weapon we can come up with, name-calling, putting people down, because if they become smaller, then we become bigger. Instead of labeling people as lumping them all together or labeling them together, we begin to see people as children of God, as brothers and sisters with us in life eternal. We need to thank God when we watch television. There was a political cartoon I saw a while back. It had 2 sections to it, 2 halves. The first half, the mother and father were standing there talking about all the risque and adult material that was showing up on television lately. And they were wondering how they're going to protect their little baby. The second box has a little baby playing on the floor, and he pulls the cord for the television. And the father says, "He's a genius." If you are concerned with violence and sex and stupidity on the television, watch something else or nothing at all. You ever heard of a book? And then, this is the important part, let the advertisers know that you're not watching. Because what is being sold on the television is not those products that you see. What is being sold by the television program is your eyeballs. You watching the advertisement is what is being sold. If you're not watching, they're not selling. They're wasting their money, and they're not going to sponsor that program anymore. You get enough people to do it, and they're going to stop the program. You don't want to see it? Don't look at it. We also need to thank God when it comes to what we choose to do with our lives. What will be the driving force of your life? Will it be money or power or relationships or security or getting by or fulfilling a dream? Or will it be Jesus Christ? How can we make life-affirming decisions unless we take time to thank God before choosing what we'll do with our life and our leisure time? And I guess I need to add our retirement. How we also need to thank God when we decide how we're going to spend our money. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. The man was beaten and left on the side of the road. The thieves said to him, "Your money is ours and we're going to take it." The scribe and the Pharisee came by and they said, "Our money is ours and we're going to keep it." But the Samaritan came by and said, "My money is yours and you can spend it." We're going to have to think about how we're going to use the resources that God gives to each and every one of us. As we thank God and live a God-centered life, God's grace can become fully effective in us. As we thank God, His grace empowers us and we're strengthened to do His will. We're not earning our salvation or earning grace by thanking God, but our way of thinking provides a stage, a playing field on which we can impact our lives. We can take advantage of what's being made available to us. As we thank God, we can allow God's love and God's grace to impact us. As we tumble headlong into the Christmas season, let's take some time to find the right focus, to organize our lives and the thoughts, and to begin by thanking God. On the back of your bulletin this morning, or handed to you, was one of these bookmarks. I want to take it home and put it in my book. On the back of it is a list of spiritual disciplines. These are ways that you can practice thanking God in your prayers, in your confession, in your fasting, in your meditation, in your silence, in your solitude, however you want to do it. These are ways that they don't earn you salvation, but they get you closer to God. They open you up to the presence of God and invite Him in so that you feel Him and you understand Him and you can respond to Him and live the way He is calling you to live. I encourage you to practice as many of these spiritual disciplines as you can do. Now, I've been saying that our lives are busy, that we don't have time. So how are you going to do that? It's called priorities. It's called focus. If you have to give up baking a batch of cookies, that's the way it's got to be. If you can't go to a party because it's time for prayer, that's the way it's going to be. You need to do what is important first. Take time to focus on God and to thank God. Do it not as an afterthought, but with anticipation. And know that life is worth living because we have taken time to do the needed thinking about God. Amen.